This is CliffCentral.com. We are live. It is Thursday, CliffCentral.com. The chilly winter weather has set in. I'm telling you, it's from here, Pumelele, I see on your face, Pumi, that you think this is amusing. Mm. This is not amusing. From here on in, it is pretty much like a fridge, like an ice box first thing in the morning. And that is the coldest time. They say it's always coldest before the dawn.
We are just here doing the Lord's work.
You say it's the Lord's work. I think the Lord wants nothing to do with our work.
That's why he gets us this cold.
Oh, that's exactly right. He's trying to stop us.
Get to the pearly gates and say, Lord, I did your work. I woke up early for your people.
Kept people together.
Well, the good news about that is that there are lots of people who wake up early and there are lots of people who get loads of stuff done first thing in the morning. I mean, like, you know, there are gyms right now that are full, people exercising, there are offices that are already starting to switch on and people at their laptops and computers, and there are people who are driving to work, the roads are busy.
I also see a group of not so kosher looking youngsters look like they're like staggering out of a club. And I was just like,
Wait, on a Wednesday night out just leading now, to a Thursday.
You know, really? We are around the corner from some CD places.
Wow.
We are around the corner from
very exciting.
Some CD places.
CD places. I had to slow down, turn on my brides. It was like, okay, they're Caucasians. It can't be that bad.
That's so
what
racist.
What could they do to me?
That's so racist. Can you imagine if I said that about black kids?
Imagine.
Anyway, but they, you know what? The days of me going out on a Wednesday or a Tuesday or a Thursday even are gone. Those days are long over. I cannot handle that next morning early if I've had a big... It's finished.
Hey, Umdala. Wait, why don't we call him... Why don't we call him Boot Gareth?
It's now Malum.
And then eventually
it's now Malum.
Yeah, it's, we're on our way to the grave.
Ketla.
Huh? No, I think.
When do I get to Ketla?
You don't want to get to that point. No. I think to go out now, I really need a big reason.
Even you, Sia.
Yeah, Sia's only 23.
Well, just for the admin of going out.
Me tell you about the kind of admin that used to happen in going out. You had to first off.
Oh, you tell me how you have lived.
No, guy, admin. I don't know what kind of admin. All you need today is a phone with an Uber app. What is the admin? What is the admin, guy?
It's the getting dressed. Where are you going? You have to brace for the second or third spot you might be at. You never know who you might bump into, where the night might take you.
That is the whole point of it, man.
Yeah, you might as well. Nowadays, you might as well take your passport because someone at 10 p.m. will say, oh, you know, Swaziland is great.
No, but hang on.
The border's closed.
Pumi, this is where I'm a little worried that our influence on Sia is bad. I'm very aware of the fact that I've decided what I like and what I don't like. You know, I'm past the age where I'm still totally open to everything. It's there's not much of that going on. My worry is that Sia's all of 23 and he spends a lot of time with us here. Yeah, well, 24, 23, you're still, you know, by comparison, we are really 1,000 years old. And he spends a lot of time with us. Yeah, exactly. And then what he might have done if he was hanging around people his own age more of the time is he might have gone out and like pulled an all-nighter twice a week, maybe.
I'm not understanding is why he's not doing it anyway. We used to have jobs.
I think it's our bad influence.
We had jobs. We worked with older people and we still... I refuse to be that kind of a bad influence.
Because of what you did in your youth.
No, I'm simply saying, Sia, that, you know, if I can't be a good example, can I be a terrible warning?
Wow, a good example or a terrible warning.
Just one of the two, maybe, just maybe. Sure.
If you don't do it now, Sia, you know what's going to happen to you?
What?
You're going to be 45.
And have a midlife crisis or something?
And you're going to feel like you missed it all. And then you're going to be those wrinkly guys in the club.
Who act out.
You're going to be those guys. Don't do it, Sia.
I don't think so because there's nothing in me that... I feel like I'm missing out on or I haven't done yet. Like, oh, of course I want to experiment an evening on LSD. I'm not, no, I don't want to play with death like that. See, there's nothing that, yeah, I feel like I have to check off my list.
You definitely don't have to play with death like that. There are lots of other ways of playing with death.
But there's my experience tank is full. I'm good on that front. Like for 12 years, I was forced to go out every Friday and Saturday, every single one, because I was working. I was DJing, which was in clubs. You're meeting people your age, older, younger. You're partying hard. You're drinking hard. It's like it's a real, like you build up a fitness for it.
You mean you never went out on Thursday nights?
No, I did occasion. No, I used to. No, certainly
Thursday
I used to.
Thursday nights were the jump.
What you're saying is not, no, it's not wrong. I mean, that's why I used to be able to pull all-nighters and strip clubs and, you know, house parties and getting home at 5:30 when the sun's coming up. But now, Now I've had my fill on that front. There may still be nights where I'm not going to say never, because you must never say never.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we're a bad influence on you because we're maybe holding you back from misbehaving.
I'm not that person holding you back. See, I run free.
Believe you me, I don't want to go to a strip club because I don't want baby oil on a seat I'm about to sit on. I don't want
kind of
to.
Horrible strip clubs.
See, what
you
kind of
to?
Places?
Oh, no, thank you.
This is your problem.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to party until the sun comes up, because then my 5-hour serum, you know, when do I put my 5-hour face serum on?
Well, you're going to be the best looking 70-year-old in the world.
Thank you. These days, there are many crazy people out there. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to play with the crazies, because next thing you argue about who came first at the bar, then next thing someone stabs you.
No.
See ya.
No,
these places that you know of.
Horrible places he's been to, right? Where it's dangerous.
No wonder you don't want to go anywhere.
So last night we had an event here at Cliff Central. We had a crowd of about 50 people here, and we were talking about podcasting and the power of podcasting and how we've come up with a means of calculating the value of podcasting to audiences, to clients, to everybody. And I think it possibly is going to make its way into various publications over the next couple of days. So don't feel that we didn't invite everybody. It was a very small crowd that we needed to bring in for our first revelation of this information that we've been gathering.
It was, you know, like a working group.
It is a bit of a working group. And we did a short presentation. Timothy Maurice, me and Ernest North, who's the host of The Naked Economy, and we just kind of let people in on what we've discovered. Ernest is an actuary, so he's been number crunching and figuring out algorithms and all kinds of things. Timothy's a human behaviorist, and you know the Brain and Brand show here on cliffcentral.com too. So he's one who can speak with alacrity on these things. Ooh. And then and our experience of 5 years. So, you know, we turned 5 on the 1st of May, and we're rapidly approaching June. And it was time for us to reveal some stuff about what's next and where we're going. So loads of exciting stuff coming up there. And if you are interested in all that, then we will be we'll be keeping you in the loop, and informed.
So yeah, today was a very good crowd last night.
It was a very good crowd. Some very important people, and some very influential people in the world of media, marketing, advertising,
and so, great conversations around that. Yeah,
yes, superb. So that's why I was in bed last night at 8:30. Warmly ensconced under those blankets.
By 8:30?
And ready to go to sleep. Oh, yes, yeah. We left here at what, 7:30?
Yeah, and then when did you get to pack?
Oh, no, I did that in like 15 minutes. I'm off to Cape Town today. So 15 minutes to pack, Sia. I'm not... I got a list. I've got a list. I print that list and I tick off the things I need. In fact, what I usually do is I'll even make the different lists. Like there's a weekend.
What? Wait, how many days are you saying for...
Three days. I'm going to be there today all day, tonight, tomorrow night, and then coming back Saturday.
You packed for 3 days in 15 minutes.
Tiny little bag. I'll show you the size of my bag. It's probably the size of most people's, maybe 2 briefcases. So, you know, one of those carry-on things. So I don't have to check it in.
Oh, no.
I don't want to check it in.
What?
Then you have to wait for the bag on the other side at the carousel. No, no, no. This one little bag. 3 days, 2 nights, sorted.
How many shoes do you have?
two pairs of shoes. One I'm wearing at the moment. The other one is in the bag. It's easy.
You're taking white sneakers to Cape Town. Are you ready for like the multiple weather patterns that Cape Town can throw at you?
I have an alpine skiing jacket, which I wore this morning because it was so freezing.
Yes. While we are.
But you know, I'm not going to wear suits and collared shirts and any of that shit. So.
I hate Cape Town in winter. It's cold. Oh, it's horrible. Rainy.
Mm. Yeah. If anyone goes to Cape Town in winter, they'll go, well, what's the fuss about this place?
It's rainy and it's. Yeah. Everything about it, and it can rain for days on end.
And the thing about the rain in Cape Town in winter is it's accompanied by wind. Not every time, but a lot of the time. And when that rain comes at you sideways, that's where you know it's really unpleasant.
Actually, I think Cape Town is only good in March and April.
Well, there are people who would disagree with you.
I think there's like there's a sweet spot.
No, that's the sweet spot. But the, you know, the rest of
outside of those two, it's in every direction, it's windy.
In every direction,
yeah, it's windy. The sun, too many people.
You're complaining about the sun.
See, another. This is old people. This is what we do, Sia. Pumi and I will sit and complain all day if it wasn't for you being here and we didn't feel a little bit guilty. All right, so
natural phenomena.
The big announcement was Cyril's cabinet last night. I paid zero attention. So
because you were.
No, because I was just. I said to Pumi this morning, and I'm going to reiterate this when we get to the burning platform later on. So forgive me if it's repetitive and you're bored, but I've had a realization. Politics has become completely uninteresting to me, and I knew this day would come one day, and I'm relieved because it's been sitting like a monkey on my back. Politics is the domain of unqualified and mostly uneducated people who just throw around opinions because you don't need to be qualified in politics. Everyone has an opinion, right? We all vote. We all think this about Cyril. We all think this about this cabinet minister. We all think this about the party. But you don't need to be particularly smart to exercise a political opinion. If you want to talk about engineering or history or philosophy or particle physics, you need to have some understanding of the material. I turn on the TV rarely, but when I do, I see new political analysts every time. People I've never heard of before who have unwise opinions about a lot of things, who really get it wrong more than they get it right. And this has been borne out by Brexit and Trump and the decline of the ANC and the DA in this last political election. They don't know what they're talking about. If you have a track record that is constantly wrong, as most of these political analysts seem to be, how can you continue to call yourself some kind of an expert in that field? If ENCA or anyone else calls you up and you've been wrong, 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 you should say to them, look, guys, I really think I shouldn't be the one to contact anymore. I've been wrong. If people had a little humility, they'd realize that. So I treat politics from here on in, and you may not like this, and maybe it'll lose me some audience, but I don't care. I think politics is like astrology. I think if you believe in Aries and Virgo and Cancer and Pisces and Sagittarius, and you think that when you wake up in the morning, the stars have ordained that your day will be like this.
And Mercury retrograde.
And you'll convince yourself that you're right because you bumped into a person who had a black cat or you walked under a ladder. Any of these superstitious things, that's how politics is. And to me, totally disinterested. And it isn't important. I've said this a million times. The realization, it's finally crystallized in my head. Politicians have very little to do with our day-to-day goings-on. We will battle on regardless. If things get better or things get worse, I'm not going to give credit to the politicians and I'm not going to blame them anymore. I don't deal with them on a daily basis. I have to as a result of my work, but I'm going to be excising that part of it so that I can be happier. I don't want to think about what goes on with a bunch of people who won a popularity contest. And in this country, it's very easy to figure politics out. It works like this. It's an oligarchy. It's a small, tightly knit group of people who owe each other favors and are owed favors by each other, who circulate those favors among them at the expense of the poor, at the expense of the economy, at the expense of justice, and they have no regard for us. So why are
we? Sounds just like business and it sounds like business and bankers.
except that business and bankers, I can transact with voluntarily. Government holds a gun to your head. I don't have an option there. I have to pay tax and I have to be part of this. So with businesses and banking, I don't have to take part in it. I can go to Capitec or I can go to Investec or I can go to FNB or I can go to ABSA. It doesn't matter. I've got options. I don't have any option with the government. They are the government that I have, whether I like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to vote in any more elections. I'm not participating in anything to do with politics. That's my point for now. I might change my mind, but that's where I'm at.
Okay, we have at least 4.5 years to change your mind about voting.
Okay, so change my mind, but what's going to change? Have we not still got people who were around in 1994, like Cyril Ramaphosa,
in that ecosystem,
swimming around in the same pool that they've all been peeing and defecating in for such a long time? Now, am I the one who is must change? Julius Malema himself said the other day that these are old people and that these people are out of ideas. And a lot of them are still thinking like the Soviets that they were once trained by, who were so wrong that their empire collapsed shortly after the few ANC people who did get some education in the Soviet Union got out. Then that very system collapsed, but they're still holding on to those ideas. People like Blade Nzimande. Blade Bloody Nzimande is still in the cabinet. I know this because Pumi told me this morning.
Yeah, he's
I'm like, what does this guy have?
Minister of Higher everybody? Education.
How many sex
technology.
Tapes does he have that he could still be there? And he's Minister of Science and Technology. There could not be a more unscientific, less technologically literate person in the country. I don't think he has a smartphone. I think he uses one of those flip phones from the 90s.
Do you think that's why he doesn't tweet as much as Tito?
But do you see why I get upset? Like, I don't want to be involved in this anymore. Like, these people don't matter to me. I'm going to wake up tomorrow, just like I did today, and I'm going to try and make my world a little more interesting.
Right.
Read about things I care about. Talk to people I'm interested in talking to. Expand the knowledge. Have some fun. Laugh a lot. And none of that needs to require Blade Nzimande. Do you know what I mean? And not everything is politics. I remember that Skunk Anansi song when I was at university. Everything is political. It isn't. And it doesn't have to be. And we've been conditioned to think, and we elevate these people into positions in our mind of prominence and importance. I don't care who the president, how often do I interact with the president? When last did you sit in a room with the president? When was he last talking about something that really meaningfully, deeply, personally affected you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your crazy aunt who walks around in a dressing gown has more effect on you than the president, right? And she's totally
Tabitha.
Powerless. Tabitha. Mm. She's not a political entity, but she has more effect
on
you.
She has force. Yeah.
Sure. So let's talk about Tabitha.
She has influence.
And I reckon Tabitha's story is probably more interesting as well. So this is just where I'm at, and I thought I'd have a little rant this morning, get it out of my system. I might change my mind in time. I'm not the kind of person who likes to put their head in the sand. But I don't need to be obsessed with this stuff anymore.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad rant because a lot of people feel like you. And I think the frustration comes from not feeling like you have any other choice. You know, yes, there's voting and yes, there's, you know.
Well, don't get me wrong. It's
being
not a,
responsible.
It's not a bitterness that things aren't what I politically want them to be, because there've been presidents that are way worse than Cyril. And there've been situations that have been much better than, you know, when Thabo Mbeki was president, I was balls deep into politics. I loved it. I used to read his newsletter every week. And I don't know whether I support
it. I so remember that.
Remember that? He used to publish a newsletter every week.
I so remember that. You, yeah.
I loved that stuff, but
it was a lot like, you know, when Gareth gets into his talking about the elements
yes.
and talking about the periodic table.
That type of passion.
It was that same type of excitement.
It was heated.
You see.
What's your take on it, Sispum?
Dude.
Yeah, what do you think?
I'm looking at that list. So my two big things last night, as we got the message saying the announcement has been delayed, I was like, how? The new dawn. It's got old tendencies. Right. The new dawn's got old tendencies.
Remember how
we used to wait up into the middle of the night and Mama would walk into the thing. And I was just like, all I wanted. All I wanted. Cause, you know, it's, as y'all know, this waking up this early on a Thursday morning, it's like, it's, tough, yeah. It's a thing. It's sure. A thing for me. So I'm always on Wednesday night. I'm ready.
Yes.
For, and now I have to wait up. I have to wait up for the, to see, cause it's going to be a thing today. We have to talk about it. And I can't, like, I would have had to wake up at 3
mm-hmm.
to read up all of those
and
things
catch up.
If I didn't stay up. Right. And then my favorite thing about, the cabinet that has been unveiled is, again, new dawn with old tendencies. We were all waiting for this greatly reduced cabinet.
It's the same. How many deputy ministers?
36.
I mean, come on.
36 deputy ministers.
And if you think a minister does nothing, a deputy minister does less than nothing.
So that was, okay. But Auntie Pat.
Oh,
well, what is the excitement around her? Because I thought this was just a bit of a fuck you to the DA. I mean, isn't that what it is?
And then if it is a fuck you to the DA, does she see through that? Does she see that she's being
used? Listen, Patricia's
to go with your analogy.
She's a career politician.
She's a politician.
And she's happy to take the money wherever it comes. And if she's going to get a ministerial post, she gets more money. You've got to understand, a lot of these people in cabinet are thrilled to be given protection. Like, this is their, they're never going to compete in the private sector. These are not people who have abilities of any kind. Pumi and I wouldn't employ them. Yeah. There's no one in cabinet that I would employ. Not one. I'm very happy to see Rob Davies is gone, because that man was such a slob. Anyway, just an aside.
Shit.
Jesus. I told you before how I feel about him. So there's not one of these people who I would employ, and I'm sure I'm not alone.
The only person who's kind of ingratiating has actually worked for him is Figile Mbalula, because he's back in, right?
Oh,
other people who tried so hard to ingratiate themselves to the president have not.
No. He was already ready on Twitter posting, I'm ready to do the work, Mr. President.
No. All that excitement that we had, I'm not saying I was excited, but there were people who were. Peter Bruce of the, what is it called? What's his publication? Business Day or whatever it is. He was so excited about the new dawn. Well, this is, Cyril is like, those husbands who perpetually disappoint their wives in bed.
Oh.
Every time
let
she's like,
let me use
okay,
that analogy. What do you
he's
mean
lit
by
the
that?
Candles. He's put on the Barry White music.
Oh,
that was quick and that was boring. And that was over fast.
But you know who else was a surprise for me in the cabinet? Is the general. Bantu Holomisa.
What's his post?
That's what I'm trying to find now, because I've got a whole list.
All right, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go through all of that later on with Ivo. He's going to join us for the Burning Platform. Ivo Fechter, who we've spoken to a couple of times. He's a regular contributor to the Daily Maverick, among other publications, and someone who has paid careful attention to politics, unlike me. So we'll get some real insights. And I also want to just tip you off that after we've done the five things, we're going to speak to a guy called Arne Soderlund, who is a retired South African Navy officer. Do you remember the other day I spoke about those three South African submarines and the embarrassing story of how many of them don't work and what they've all ended up being
not strong enough.
So he has some corrections, and I'm more than happy to be corrected, and I like giving people the right of reply. So apparently people in naval circles, I mean, circling the navel is a
well,
term. That's a term that we use. It's not particularly flattering, but people in naval circles have apparently been that Gareth Cliff's such a moron, which is fine. I mean, I've been called lots worse. So he's going to come in and correct us, and or correct me, and tell me the truth of what we've got, what our Navy's shape is in. And hopefully we'll learn something from that. So Arne Soderlund, who will join us a little bit later on. Loads of good stuff coming up this morning. And we'll talk cabinet. We'll talk Thuli Madonsela and Helen Zille. We'll talk about a bunch of things.
Lord.
All right.
It's been so busy. I forgot about the tea.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Someone says, morning. It's been a while. Let me get to this just before we go to the five things. Still listening, even if I don't check in as often as I did before, I have to say. Sadly, not enough time to articulate and reference podcasts where necessary, but here are the top four. Number one, Gord days are the best days. He takes you on and gives the positive Calvary added. Okay, well, thanks for that. Nothing beats well-informed opposing views. He rescued the interview with that preacher dude. Female deities, monotheism, Constantine, etc. almost turned into something condescending, religion-bashing interview. Eventually came out as one of the best recent informative interviews. I don't even remember that one.
Okay.
Number two, you cannot stereotype Jews as rich. It's anti-Semitic, but then you stereotype Black Twitter daily. Well, listen, I didn't call it Black Twitter. I don't call it Black Twitter. I call it Woke Twitter. And Woke Twitter's got white people and black people in it, and they're all equally stupid. Freedom of speech, you are pro it. In the same breath, you state that some people with X amount of followers shouldn't have an opinion on social media. Which one is it, G? Freedom of speech or not? Well, this is, listen, first of all, I don't like this, the tone of your message to me this morning. I think you're being very combative.
Better hold you back.
So here's my point, and I thought I'd made this clear, and you're the first person to bring it up, which means you've been half listening, and you admitted that in your opening line. So we're at least on the same page there. Mm-hmm. Freedom of speech, as close to absolute as possible. My point is, if you have only 5 followers on Twitter or Instagram or anywhere else, don't expect everyone to take you as seriously as everyone else. It doesn't mean we're all equal. We all have equal opportunities, but you cannot control the equal outcome. And my point with freedom of speech is you can natter on to your 10 followers as much as you like. It's unlikely to go much further than your 10 followers. If someone who has 16 million followers or someone who's obsessed with Twitter like President Donald Trump goes on about things, it has consequences. And that's because people are not all equal on social media. And that's got nothing to do with freedom of speech. In life. Thanks.
It's like good old Auntie Tabitha here.
Right?
Her circle of influence.
There we go.
Is linked to Sia.
And then MBK finishes off with, try a show with Pumi and Ben. I'd like to see that. That would be something. Okay. And last point, I'm proud to mention that high school level essay topics and postgrad research topic have been based on interviews and views shared on the show. Grade 9 through to MBA, still relevant. Thanks, team. Love MBK. All right. Well, thank you. There we go.
We are the inspiration.
Wow. I hope we aren't quoted as source material. You'll never get that degree.
I need to take that to my mother. My mother needs to hear that.
All right. So there's the basic look at one or two messages. Let's get into the things you need to know this morning. First of all, Costa Semenya continues to be in the news and not for her athletic prowess. This is frustrating in the extreme. She's going to have to appeal that IAAF gender rule at a top Swiss court. I certainly hope it goes her way because these things are expensive.
And
they're not.
There's a crowdfunding initiative going on right now if you want to be part of the fight.
Well, you know, they often say in law that if you fight something on principle, you're damned because it's going to cost you a lot. Whether you win or lose, some people aren't going to change their mind. Morality very seldom enters justice as a concept, and certainly not the law. The law and justice are separate things too. But South African runner Costa Semenya said on Wednesday she has lodged an appeal at the Swiss Supreme Court to challenge a decision over IAAF rules forcing her to lower her testosterone levels. And we'll see what comes of that. It's an ongoing issue, and there are people on both sides who just won't find any common ground. And in the middle of it is poor Costa Semenya, who just wants to run and do her thing. Khayelitsha continues to be a hotbed of unrest. People are even using assault rifles, according to Khayelitsha residents who are tired of crime. They're fed up with shootings in the area. We're quite tired. We seem to be a community that's ravaged by crime and hardened criminals, said the Khayelitsha Development Forum's Ditini Tido. He said, in the case of Kwamhlanga, where people are even using assault rifles, it's becoming a military-style attack. The Khayelitsha Development Forum is making a very firm call to all community members to amass and expose the thugs and report them. Frightening. Frightening place to end up. And this is why in research that's conducted on dangerous places in the world, Cape Town outranks Johannesburg, because gangsterism is just out of control. And that people can use assault rifles in communities that really are just already ravaged by poverty and a lack of resources. It's just so sad. Another train has been damaged, talking about Cape Town. An electrical fire broke out at Cape Town train station on Wednesday afternoon. Two carriages were destroyed. Another was damaged in a blaze on a train on Tuesday night. In the blaze, two commuters were treated for smoke inhalation and the damaged carriages were removed for forensic tests and damage appraisal. They're obviously checking for arson. But firefighters have managed to extinguish the latest train fire and authorities confirmed it was caused by an electrical fault. I wonder how many millions of rands we have thrown away in South Africa by burning trains.
Untold. Millions on millions.
It's just, isn't it frightening?
Millions on millions.
No.
We have to find, so Fab Academic put this out on her Twitter the other day, because mm-hmm. I don't know. Then we have to find a way of dealing with our anger in this country. We have to find a way of getting angry better. Where right now, when we get angry, we burn things, we break things, we fight each other.
We hurt people who are weaker than us. We go after like illegal immigrants or women or children.
We have to find a way to get better at how we express our anger and frustrations. Because it's expensive. It's expensive to a lot of people. I saw a thing yesterday which I thought was very, very disgusting. Almost as more disgusting than burning a train, right? A group of adults that actually burnt down a creche.
Oh my God. What for? What could that...
Part of a demonstration.
How much good could that possibly do? Most of these creches are not government creches.
Part of a demonstration.
You know, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's just, let's be as destructive as possible.
Imagine having
the only way we get
attention. To tell your four-year-old or five-year-old why they can't go to creche today because some angry adults burnt it down. Like
crazy.
What?
It's horrendous. Yeah, that makes me angry too. Two other stories in the headlines this morning. First of all, U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller had to say on Wednesday that his investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election was never going to end with criminal charges against Donald Trump. The reason he has to say this is because Democrats are carrying on like little girls who've lost a game on the playground. Okay, little kids.
Thank you.
Who've lost a game on the playground. I can't help it that most of the Democratic leadership happen to be little girls who snivel and cry all the time, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or, Nancy Pelosi. They're not listening. He said, here's my report. There are about 15 lines in there that are redacted because it's got security information that would prejudice people who had given grand jury testimony. I mean, you can look this up. The interesting thing about all the Democrats who are complaining about the redacted parts of the Robert Mueller report is that they haven't, in very many cases, even read it. But they're trying to find some angle because they've created this fantasy that Donald Trump was in cahoots with Russia and that's how he won the election. They can't accept that they were just beaten solidly. So Robert Mueller has had to come out and say to everybody, please apply your minds like rational adults and figure out that this is not going to lead to criminal charges against a man who you think is the most evil man that's ever lived. Orange man bad. Get over yourselves because you are childish in the extreme. There is nothing more. And he said he would give no more information than that which was already published in his report. Now, the fact that he's had to do this must give you an indication of how frustrated people who are trying to follow the law. And remember, Trump has been accused of lots of things, but he didn't fire Mueller, which all the Democrats said he was going to do. He wasn't found guilty of collusion in any which way. The obstruction charges are not contained in the Mueller report, although there may have been obstruction of some kind. And if Congress think they've got enough to go on, why don't they just impeach him? I'll tell you why. Because they'll lose, just like everything else the Democrats have tried to do. They'll lose. And the fact that he had to come out and say this is an indictment on the Democratic Party and their witch hunt. That's all it is. It's what Trump said it was from the start. When he used to say, it's a witch hunt. It's just complete nonsense. It's a hoax. Do you remember him saying that? And everybody said, oh, he's trying to cover up. Nancy Pelosi accused him of covering up just last week. Covering up what? Tell us what. And if he's covering Gareth, something up, charge him.
Gareth, I'm going to protect you from yourself right now.
Yeah.
And ask you to move on to the next story.
All right, sorry. Thank you. All right, the case
your level of belligerence today.
It's bad, huh?
Yeah.
The case against Noko Tulandaba and three others accused of committing 4 million rands worth of fraud through a dating site.
What?
Yes, it's been postponed.
There's that kind of money on dating sites.
43-year-old Ndaba appeared in the Bellville Magistrates Court on Wednesday. She allegedly managed to get approximately 4 million rand from a victim she encountered on a dating site. After a relationship developed, the victim was promised a business partnership and was later requested to send through money by several bank accounts and other transactions. The alleged scam happened between May and August of 2016.
This is why Sia doesn't want to go out. What?
Can you imagine? But I mean, giving someone 4 million rand when you meet them on a dating site before anything's even happened is just, I kind of think you deserve it.
On a dating site, I've been married before and no one's ever given me four million rand.
Madness. All right. So lots of other good stuff that we'll talk about. Let me just quickly fill you in on Bitcoin and Ethereum. Bitcoin is at $8,681, still above the 8,000, but not quite at the 9. And Ethereum, $284, if you're watching this. So Ethereum ticking up much more gradually, but much more solidly. So there is something worth watching over there. All right, those are the main stories in the news this morning, just in case. For those people who are very excited about the Cricket World Cup, which starts today, I hope you're ready for that. We've got a full list of the cabinet ministers and deputy ministers, which, if it doesn't put you to sleep, will keep you very, very excited. There's only two options there. You either love this stuff or you hate it. And if you're really interested in who's in the cabinet, we will fill you in shortly. All right. Before we get into any of that, though, I want to talk to a man who's a retired South African naval officer. His name is Arne Söderlund. And I was talking the other day on the show during the Burning Platform with Outer's Wayne Duvenager about some facts that turned out not to be facts about the Navy. There are stories about where our military is currently at in terms of their ability to do anything. I've been less than complimentary about this. I certainly know some people who are in the South African Army and Air Force and one or two who are in the Navy, but I won't credit my sources with being absolutely accurate all of the time. This man knows what he's talking about. So we're going to speak to him in a moment or two and find out what the real story is about the health of the South African Navy and what those submarines are actually doing, if anything. And I'm not going to presuppose too much before we've spoken to the experts, because I'm often wrong. Are you watching the Cricket World Cup at all, Pumi? Do you care about cricket? I know Kanekho does.
No.
Kanekho likes cricket.
Yeah. It's like a leftover. It's a boys' school problem.
Cricket,
rugby, soccer, all of those things. Anything with a ball, really. It's a problem with men.
Is he not there? No. I just need to know what to do.
Okay. No, so I don't even know when the Cricket World Cup is going to be.
It starts today.
Uh-huh, there you go.
It starts today. All right.
I'm so surprised you didn't know that.
All I know is there was a fight about who gets the rights of who's showing the Cricket World Cup. I didn't know it was... I mean, this fight was happening a couple of days ago. Why were they having this fight if this thing is starting today? It's a bit late in the day.
And all I know is just enough to bring up in a dinner party conversation to pass to someone who knows, and that is Protea Fire. I don't know. I just know that's the thing.
So here's something interesting.
Supporters are saying that.
Let's go through the cabinet quickly and have quick fire responses from Pumi and Sia. And if you want to join in, then this is what we can do. So first of all, Deputy President, it's exactly who we expected. There's no compromise allowed for Cyril. He's got to keep David Mabuza in there. So he's the Deputy President. So all those people who said, Lady Pandor and Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma. No.
There were even whispers of Lindiwe Sisulu.
Forget it.
Yeah.
He has no wiggle room with David Mabuza. And let's just remember this while we're talking about deputy presidents. Who was Nelson Mandela's deputy president?
He had two.
Yeah, but who was the first one? Who was the ANC one?
Who was the ANC one?
Yeah, because there was one from the NNT. Thabo Mbeki. And he took over from him, right? Mm-hmm. Who was Thabo's deputy?
for a while.
No, I see where you're going with this. I don't want to.
Jacob Zuma took over from Thabo Mbeki. Who was Jacob Zuma's deputy? Cyril. Cyril took over from Jacob. And so who is Cyril's deputy?
Could be our president.
Why?
It could be.
What is your fear, C?
I don't know. Didi, I haven't even heard.
You don't think Didi's a problem?
Not that he's a problem, but he's... Oh, okay.
Not a problem?
You see, exactly what I was saying, I think we had this conversation on Monday. It's just a crap position to be in when you start weighing out, well, at least he hasn't done much destruction. He hasn't really said much, you know, unlike some other people. Didi, I haven't even heard really say more than three sentences, in my opinion. And I think anyone who's in any position of power could be actively doing more. And using that analogy that Gareth was using earlier of everyone just in the same pool and some people happen to pee in that pool. I just think everyone in that pool right now.
Who are guys, this peeing in the pool kind of thing. Can we stop with this peeing in the pool
Last
thing?
Last week we were talking about people who cook chicken without cleaning it.
I cannot think of a better metaphor for our cabinet. Okay, so Minister of Agriculture has two deputies. That's Togo Didiza. She's got two deputies, which is just madness. And who are they? Gabisi Skwacha, who was the guy who ruined the Western Cape for the ANC, and Sdumo Dlamini, who's shown himself to be hopeless at the polls, completely unpopular, and without the confidence of the workers he says he's represented for so many years. So this is going to be great. And those are the people looking after land reform? Good luck. Your expropriation without compensation, it's never going to happen under these three. And three of them. Let's just remember we needed two deputy ministers there. Because one wouldn't be incompetent enough.
So you know what I found fascinating? Getting ready as we were cabinetless for the days, right?
Things carried on.
But also, what we tend to forget is that all of these people are supposed to be policy making people, right? Mm. All of them. That's why it's horrendous that they're like two deputies. I mean, deputy ministers don't even have the same kind of power or status. That is why when a minister is out of the country, it's not the deputy that becomes the acting minister. The president has to put somebody else in that position. So do they really have power? What are they doing? But the fact that all of these people are supposed to be driving policy and the service delivery around that thing, they're not actual workers.
I'll tell you what they're driving.
They're not actual workers.
They're driving in blue light brigades that are costing us money and living in government housing and going on international trips and opening buildings and sitting in their offices and doing absolutely nothing else. A deputy minister is about the most unimportant thing in a government. Cannot imagine a more useless position. Anyway, we do have Arne Sutherland on the line, and we're going to talk to him about the South African Navy. Arne, very nice to speak to you. I actually went to, full disclosure, I went to high school with Arne's daughter, who I haven't seen in a long time. Please give her my regards. I have lots of love for her. She's a terrific human being, and she's the one who tipped me off that you guys in the Navy were laughing about what I said the other day about the submarines. So I'm very happy you could come and join us this morning to correct me and to fill me in on the health, give us a general diagnosis of the South African Navy. Thank you for making some time for us this morning.
Good morning, Gareth. It's a pleasure. And I must tell you, I'm no longer Navy. I retired 13 years ago, so I sit as an outside observer and sometimes a critic as well.
All right. No, well, I'm happy. I'm happy that there are people who are more informed than I who can correct me and hopefully fill us all in on what's really going on. So I was talking about the submarines. Let's start there if we can.
Right. The submarines that we've got weren't built in France at all. They, in fact, are German submarines, and one of my last trips in the Navy before retiring was to come from Saldana to Cape Town, to Simonstown. So I do know a little bit about them, and I also opened a submarine museum in 2012 with one of our old French ones. Mm-hmm. The major story which hit the news in about 2007 was from very disreputable papers, stated that there had been somebody had put the wrong wires on the submarine, which you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a vacuum cleaner. I'm afraid it was a dockyard worker connecting up major AC/DC supplies.
Okay.
That submarine blew about six fuses, but the rest of the world went on about it being blown up and destroyed. The submarine was back at sea 2 years later. And in fact, as we sit here now, Manta TV, our first boat, is at sea. I watched her sailing yesterday.
Okay.
She's doing training at sea for most of the time. So there's a bit of a misunderstanding there. We, in fact, are just as good as it used to be. And this I can confirm because our submarines are very well controlled. We, in fact, the first navy in the world ever to get an outside shipping classification society, Deutsche Lloyd, to check our submarines. So they are very much in commission.
Okay.
We, the South African government bought them not to attack. Submarines, you get attack submarines, but that's only in wartime. The submarine is a deterrent. That's the main reason for having them. And in fact, the self-defense, Japanese self-maritime defense force, have one of the biggest fleets in the world. So they, our submarines are here as a deterrent. And in fact, when they're out at sea, they're also doing patrolling. And what is remarkable is they can do better patrols than surface ships sometimes, especially down in international waters, because they don't get observed when they come across illegal fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one of the little aspects which I'd like to mention.
Sure. I'm curious, and Pumi might have a few questions for you too. I'm curious about the overall, and I know you said you're retired, and I don't expect you to know everything, but you certainly have more insight than I do. What is the overall health of our Navy, and what sort of capabilities do we have? Let's say, for example, you know, a whole fleet of illegal fishing vessels suddenly decided to make themselves comfortable off the southern coast of South Africa and just take out whatever they wanted in terms of marine life. Would we have any means of dealing with that? Or worse?
Well, first of all, Barbara Creasy's just taken on that responsibility, as we discovered, because we have a special anti-fishing or anti-poaching fleet. Mm-hmm. However, the Navy does have the ability, and has in the past and regularly does, use our ships to assist them. The main reason we can't do it ourselves is that we don't have the power of arrest. So we've got the frigates that work out. In fact, one of our frigates will be, or has been, and will be going again, to doing patrols in the Mozambique Channel. Those are anti-piracy, but they can also do fishing if they have to, if they've got police on board or fisheries inspectors. But in fact, our Navy is in pretty good health. Its biggest bugbear is the fact that its funds have been slashed by at least 40%, which means they don't even have fuel. But the quality of the people is the one thing which you harped on a bit, which is actually not true, because we never sent people to France to be trained for submarines. They had different submarines. We sent approximately 30 officers, and they were mainly technical officers, so they were definitely not idiots. They went across to do their submarine course because our submarines hadn't arrived back yet. Hmm. There, it was purely a theoretical course. They cannot qualify somebody. And, in fact, they did their odd sea time on Russian submarines. So there was no intention whatsoever of them being trained as submariners there by the Indian Navy. In fact, half of them were technicians who went across to learn on about the operating side or, and maintenance side.
Hmm.
Every one of them was in the Navy, by the way, has a matric, so it, and I actually sometimes wonder, because the right wing often attack us as well, claiming that, you know, we're not as good because, and this is a state of racism.
Mm.
Our Navy is very, very representative. We've had two excellent black captains of submarines. In fact, one is the best I've come across recently. The other one is not far behind him. So when people attack our ability, they say, oh, we've got too many blacks in the Navy, which is what old hands do and the right wing. The professionalism stays the same. To qualify, we work on international seas, so anyone who stands watching a bridge has to meet international standards.
Right.
So I watched Minesweeper going out yesterday. They do patrols. We are pretty active and would be more so if the Navy had a bigger budget.
So really the question is funding, but we did spend a large amount of money around the arms deal time. What did we buy that was new, and how's the rest of the fleet, the older stuff, looking?
Well, the new stuff were the four frigates, which are, in fact, I've seen two of them at sea this year. Of them, about two are running all the time. You have to remember that submarines and frigates, and then the three submarines.
Mm-hmm.
One has to remember that these have very, very strong safety requirements, and a submarine gets refitted regularly. The frigates, we've got two out of four running. One is awaiting a refit, purely because of a lack of money. It's a year outstanding. Another one's been brought forward. On the submarine side, ever since we got our first submarines 50 years ago in 1969, they arrived here in 71, 72, we have never, ever tried to run three. It's too expensive. And submarines are here for wartime. You can't suddenly get them in a war. Nobody sells them to you then, and it takes years to learn how to run them. So we've always had one in refit and two in commission, which we have at the moment, Charlotte Mfeke and Montepizzi, which was the first one. And as I said, she's at sea, and she's been at sea on Armed Forces Day. So if you can go to Google, you can look it up. But Google is not the oracle, I can tell you. Our submarines are in good nick.
With the stories that I'd heard and some of the stories that circulate, which are clearly not as accurate as many of us are led to believe, is there a problem with communication? I mean, shouldn't, you know, our Army, Navy, and Air Force, shouldn't they have a better means of communicating with the public if all of this disinformation is out there? Because perhaps there are things there that we should know about that we could be rightly proud of then, rather than to entertain the nonsense that we are fed by disreputable media and often by newspapers who consider themselves to be the oracles that you say Google is often represented to be.
I couldn't agree with you more. That is one of the greatest problems we have. The local PROs, and I say this privately in my private capacity, try their hardest, but nothing can be done without approval from Pretoria. And that's normally an army person. And when they should react and tell exactly what happened, and people say, oh, that's understandable, they leave it, nobody mentions it, and it comes out through the sneaky ones. The case of the first submarine, the first report appeared in one of our magazines, our local newspapers, and I'm looking at one right now, which is not on that, but it's the Daily Voice. And to give you an idea of its credibility, the headlines of that day is "Morphy Hooker Shot in Hut."
Yeah. That is the sort of
stuff that people believe.
Oh yeah, and I can't imagine.
It's not a joke.
I can't imagine they would be getting into the specifics of the technical diagnostics of a submarine. So I'm willing to believe that that's probably a rubbish newspaper. Pumi's got a few questions for you, Arne, if you don't mind.
You know, when I was reading up about you, I was very fascinated at all the stories that are out there. But you're also one of the people that served in the crossover between the old government and the new government. And what was that like? What was transitioning from the old flag to the new flag like at the Navy?
The fact, I think, the Navy was one of the most successful. And what is most interesting is that there were very, very few naval people trained in the non-statutory forces. Mm-hmm. But the Navy went out of its way, and they brought in a number and trained them at Saldana. And the Minister of Defense at the time, I was in London at the changeover as a naval advisor there. And I heard from the Minister himself when I looked after him how well the Navy was doing. They brought in, I think it was 140 young men who had never seen the sea. There were 14 who had been trained in the Russian Navy. And they were all integrated. The first two admirals arrived, and I'm very proud to say that they joined me as my office so I could keep an eye to help them and assist them. And the one, Rev Medina, became chief of the Navy. And I'd like to say he was a great friend.
Oh, wow.
It went extremely well in the Navy.
I'm pleased to hear that. We don't get to hear too many of these good stories. The major base is still Simonstown, right?
Simonstown is the major base. Saldana is the training base, and they've just reopened the base in Durban.
Okay.
And actually, interesting there, one of my backgrounds, I used to run Strike Draft, I commissioned the first, and three of them are still running very well. There's nothing more reassuring than hearing their thundering diesels arriving in Simonstown when they visit us. And they are all used for patrols as well. They do copper, which is our piracy patrol. Not that there's much piracy there, but it's also a good experience for the people to go to sea.
So with the law, yeah.
You know, sorry.
No, you finish. With the long career you've had in the Navy, looking back, is it something that you'd encourage young people today to get into?
Yes. In fact, the Navy is very popular. They normally have a lot more applicants. I regularly get people asking me, please, can't you get my son in? He's trying to go. But there just isn't space. The Navy's reached out times as well. And they've got a system where they pop people out. But the only way to join the Navy is to apply. You can't use any contacts anymore. But it's very popular. The training is excellent. The Navy is a very different service to the others. It's a lot more, I use the word relaxed, but it's a fun job.
Well, Pumi's referred to your long career. You joined the Navy in 1966. You specialized in surface warfare. And later in military intelligence, also in strike craft from 75 to 84. And you did retire from the Navy in 2006. You're still involved in the study and recording of naval and military history, for which I'm pleased this morning because we get to have some insight into that. And you've written a book called Iron Fist from the Sea, Top Secret Seaborne Recce Operations 78 to 88 with Dostain. So a lot of really interesting stories, I would imagine, have come from this this excellent career and lots of interesting people along the way too, right?
I definitely can say that.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful.
Well, Arne, thank you so much for
I've written a few books.
Yes, tell me about the others.
No, that's not the only one.
What are the others?
Oh, in 2008, I wrote with another writer. The two of us wrote a book on South Africa's Navy, which was presented to the then president, which is a book on the Navy. It's a coffee table book and a few others. And I also publish a daily maritime newsletter, so I keep myself busy.
Where can we find that newsletter if we'd like to subscribe?
Subscription is free, and it tells you what's happening over that few days. And I will definitely send you a copy, and if you like it, you're welcome to. It covers developments all over the world, countries buying submarines, collisions, anything which goes on. And it goes to people in 23 different nations. But it's a free publication every night except Saturday.
Well, that sounds terrific. I think we'll put the address up on our website as well, and if people want to subscribe to that, then they can find out all the more information. And the more information we have, the better. Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I love to hear the truth coming up. I've seen it so well.
Thank you, Arne. Thank you. Arne Sutherland, who's a retired South African Navy officer, just setting the record straight on exactly what the state of our Navy is. It's interesting stuff, huh? A career in the Navy, is something you want to do?
I've been to that Sultana Bay. It's definitely not the kind of place that
not
I
for
wanted
you.
To spend my 20s.
You think if Kanekho said to you he wanted to be in the armed forces, would you prefer him to be in the Army, the Navy, or the Air Force?
Air Force.
Careful, Arne Sutherland's going to be back on the line. All right, it is just after 7. We come back with a burning platform. Yes, very exciting. This morning with Ivo Fechter, who's going to join us to talk about, among other things, cabinet and how much it has changed or not, and who's where. All of that and more. Everything you need to know in 1 hour.
This is CliffCentral.com.